You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome to episode 15 of Earth Station MCU. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and now on Podbean, and if you do subscribe to us through one of those services, please take a couple minutes to give us a rating. Spread the word to everyone you know, and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. John and I are also active on a number of other groups I'd like to give a shout-out to, including the Marvel Cinematic Universe Facebook group, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cosplayers, and the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as the Facebook groups of our sister podcasts Earth Station One and Earth Station Who. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group or WordPress site, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. So, Age of Ultron has opened overseas and is breaking box office records all over the world ahead of the U.S. opening coming up this week. Yep. And there's news about Daredevil and the rumored Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the directors for the next phase of MCU movies, as well as this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, The Frenemy of My Enemy. So, without further ado, how are you doing, John?
I'm doing quite well. You know, it's Sunday, so we're about to go back into the work week, so we'll see how I am at the end of it. But I do already have my ticket for Thursday night.
Excellent.
Yeah, my local theater was, for their 3D IMAX, was actually doing reserved seating. So, like, going into a concert, I had to pick my seats.
Right, right. Yeah, the big AMC theater at Atlantic Station here in Atlanta, it turns out they are going to do the 23-hour marathon. Yes, I will not be attending that, but they are doing it.
Let's see, what vacation time do I have?
and then they've got...
I'll need to leave the theater for, you know, a day.
right, exactly. And there are some different fan groups around Atlanta that are making a whole big thing out of it. There's going to be, you know, cosplay contests, and the theater's being very supportive of having costumes. And it looks like it's going to be awesome. So I'm trying to decide if I want to go to the big event version of it or a smaller, you know, theater where I can just sort of concentrate on the movie. But
that is a good question. And, you know, around here in Columbia, there really isn't that much of a community about it as there is in Atlanta. So, you know, even if I show up as Coulson Thursday night, I'm probably going to be the only person there in costume.
Yeah. So, but, you know, if you just go with the suit, everyone's just going to go, oh, it's a guy in a suit.
Yeah, hopefully they don't think I'm the theater manager.
That could be a danger, I suppose. Yeah, I haven't gotten any of my cosplay stuff together because I've been so freaking busy with the show right now. But, yeah, I have a navy suit, but for Agent Carter. But
right.
All the pictures that I've been seeing have people doing a brighter shade of blue than the dark navy blue that I've got. So I'm like, oh, I should try and find something.
Yeah,
brighter.
It does tend to be a much brighter blue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've got the hat. I can do the hair. I've got the nice seamed stockings and the perfectly period shoes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest, but it's gonna be. I gotta work on that. I got my Doctor Who stuff that I want to get together for Timegate.
Right.
So uh, So yeah, lots of stuff going on, and apologies to anybody for any delays in getting episodes out, because the show is eating my head. The show being the play that I'm involved with, and not the the podcast, but it's all getting done, so that's what counts, right?
Exactly.
Indeed. All right, the Avengers has opened, or Avengers Age of Ultron has opened overseas now, and it is getting fantastic reviews and pulling in just tons of money.
Yeah, the worldwide box office from this past weekend is $201.2 million.
Yeah, they were saying 175, but yeah, I can't believe that's just like phenomenal.
And it's, yeah, that's the latest numbers as of today.
Right. Yeah. And I think that was not counting all. Yeah, the 175 wasn't counting all of the countries that it was going to be opening in. It's incredible, and it's getting fantastic reviews, which is great. There have been lots of interviews and things like that popping up online in the last week, because they're doing, you know, press tours and everything. So there's been a fair bit of interesting news leaking out over all of that. I think it was one of the promotional things that we mentioned last week about Kobe Smulders being in S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Right.
Yep. So lots of cool stuff going on with that. Of course, we've got all kinds of hoopla and everything building up to the opening on Thursday. A lot of places, you know, that normally open stuff on, if they're doing a Thursday opening, they're actually doing like a Thursday midnight opening. Yep. But I've seen lots of places that are doing a Thursday at 7 and a Thursday at like 10:30. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, like my theater here, it's 7 and I think 10:45.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that like a lot of people have started to do that since tragedies like Aurora. I think they feel it's safer to hold it earlier in the evening rather than at midnight.
Right, right. So we've got Age of Ultron opening up this week. We also had some interesting news regarding spin-offs and related stuff in terms of TV shows.
Yes.
What about the we were speculating last week, and I think maybe the week before too, about potential spin-off ideas. And we have found out that now it sounds like, it hasn't been confirmed by Marvel or Disney, but it sounds pretty firm, like they've got something that they're working on for Bobby and Hunter.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's not official, but everybody and their mother starts reporting on it, so you assume it's got to be true.
Yeah, and sometimes that's, you know, sometimes that comes back and bites you, you know, but but yeah, it does sound like that's the direction that they're going. And I mean, I would be interested to see what it is that they're going to do that's different with that than what we're getting with regular Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And certainly, you know, there's got to be a little bit of patching up done before they can start this series.
Oh, certainly, because, well, for one thing, you know, Bobby and Hunter are on opposite sides of the Coulson-Gonzalez split as of right now.
Absolutely, and she kind of, you know, did a good job trying to break his heart again.
Right.
Before he confronted Mac and like, hey, what's going on? And got himself kidnapped, and then got free of being kidnapped and got back to Coulson.
Right, but yeah, there's definitely going to have to be some serious fence mending there before that could work out for them to be working together.
Yep.
And we don't have a whole lot of time. You know, we've got basically three more episodes, or technically four, but two of them are back-to-back as the season finale. So,
but of course, they've made up rather quickly, and we'll see if somebody else's SUV gets spoiled next time.
That could happen as well. Yes, definitely. So yeah, I'll be interested to see what it is that they want to do with this that's different.
Right.
You know, because unless, you know, and it's possible that after Age of Ultron we may see S.H.I.E.L.D. going in a very different kind of direction or something. That S.H.I.E.L.D. becomes much more, you know, Inhumans, and maybe, you know, Bobby and Hunter are doing more espionage type stuff, but I guess we'll kind of have to see how it goes. I think that both the actors are great. I think that the characters are interesting, but I'm not sure yet if there's enough to necessarily hang a series on. It's not like,
right.
You know, it's not like Agent Carter, where there's this whole extra dimension of the MCU that hadn't been explored yet, where we had this, you know, mm-hmm. it'd been introduced in Captain America, but there was nothing done in it. If they're just doing another contemporary series in, you know, where the content's going to overlap considerably with S.H.I.E.L.D., I'll be interested to see what they do with that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always a possibility, it being such a big universe, that there will be other missions to deal with. There will be things that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can't focus on because it's focused on other stuff.
Sure, sure. But I'm hoping that whatever they do, it has an identity of its own, and it's not just, you
Absolutely.
Know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. So we'll have to see how that goes.
You know, yeah, at least one suggestion I've read was it would kind of be like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith sort of scenario.
Yes, which would be very cool. And they're both, like I said, they're both great actors and, you know, do great action scenes and everything. But yeah, I'm hoping it's whatever they're going to do, it's got its own definite identity to it. The other big news is, they're now saying 75% chance of Agent Carter coming back, but that hasn't been officially confirmed. So not
and
holding my breath
I mean,
yet.
Hopefully we'll know by the end of next month.
That's definitely the hope. You know, other networks have said that they're making decisions on things. Of course, I'm thinking about Constantine because that's been on the bubble, and it was dead, and then it wasn't dead, and everything. So hopefully we'll be hearing on a number of different superhero properties. Another thing that we had mentioned last week was that, you know, Daredevil was awesome, but they probably wouldn't be doing a second season since they were going to be focusing on different characters. You've got Jessica Jones and Luke Cage
right.
and everything. But they just
Surprise.
Announced that, yeah, exactly. They just announced that they're doing another season of it. So that's going to mean that they've got an awful lot of things going if all of their Defenders series, you know, take off into, you know, recurring series that come back year after year.
And there's a lot more obviously to explore with Daredevil because, you know, we've left the, you know, and we'll obviously discuss it more when we do our own Daredevil episode,
mm-hmm.
but they've dropped hints about the existence of Elektra,
mm-hmm.
So we can see her, we can see Bullseye, we can see other villains such as Mr. Fear,
mm-hmm.
They even teased a little bit of Melvin Potter's Gladiator.
Okay.
I'll get into that when we do our
right.
own episode on it.
Right. But yeah, obviously there's, you know, that's a title that has a very rich history and some very well written stuff on it. I think that there's definitely a lot to explore there.
And I mean, what's more about Charlie Cox is that we know he's been part of his contract includes movies.
Right. And what I've heard is that there's the Defenders are all going to come back for Infinity War 2, that's going to be the huge mm-hmm. family reunion, everyone who's ever been an Avenger and the Defenders and the Guardians of the Galaxy. But I know Charlie Cox has said that he wants to be in Civil War. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but at the same time, my God, everyone else is in Civil War, it seems like.
I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't rule it out. It's just, you know,
it would probably be a little cameo at that point.
Yeah, it would be difficult to do at this stage, I think. And part of the Civil War in the comics did involve the street level heroes, and
mm-hmm.
I do believe that Daredevil was on Cap's side.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it will be. I'm just curious to see how this goes with, you know, different people working on different titles, but at the same time, like, Daredevil was done primarily by the writers of the Captain America movies, I believe.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah, and so they're busy doing Civil War, of course, and then I believe, they haven't settled on writers for Infinity War yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
But they're, you know, the directors, I believe the directors of the Captain America ones are tapped for Infinity War, so
yes,
it would make sense for them to go along too. And they've said that there's going to be a new showrunner for season 2 of Daredevil. But, you know, that's
see, even the Knight's not sticking around.
What's that? No, that's what they said, at least.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well. Titles go through different writers all the time. You know, okay. So it's certainly possible to see the same thing happen with shows, but I'm curious to see just how many balls they can keep in the air at the same time, because, you know, especially with Joss leaving to do other projects right now, there's mm-hmm. a finite number of people that have a proven track record at this point. They've already got the Guardians of the Galaxy writer working on Captain Marvel, I believe, and presumably they'll be working on Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right.
I haven't heard any writers attached to the next Thor movie.
No, not yet. But, you know, speaking of Civil War, mm-hmm. you know, we've had some more Spider-Man news in the last week.
Yep, we have.
Or at least rumors, shall we say. There was at least one report that Marvel had a short list of 5 different actors.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one that another actor who had previously been discussed is even more likely, or he's kind of leaking out either because he wants to be Spider-Man or because he already is Spider-Man.
Yeah, this is the guy that was on the red carpet in London for the premiere, right? And tweeted something with his picture and like hashtag Spider-Man. Now, who was that?
Yep. Billy Unger is his name. He's actually, uh-huh. he was on that show Lab Rats on uh-huh. the Disney Channel. And I think him showing up to the premiere obviously gives that a certain amount of weight. You know, you don't, if you're, you know, just a Disney Channel star, you're not just going to go all the way to London to be at this premiere.
Yeah, I mean, other people have said, well, he is associated with Disney already, you know,
right.
so it would make some sense. But I can see Disney stars being at the, like, the Los Angeles or the New York premiere. It's
exactly
a little bit pushing it, I think, for him to be at the London premiere. Was he the one that you said that, like, somebody had visited his house or something?
I believe so. That they apparently Marvel had the talks about him playing Spider-Man at his house mm-hmm. in order to kind of keep off the speculation about them talking to him.
Right. Well, that didn't work.
Nope.
But yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what comes of that. It seems like it would, you know, if he's going to be in Civil War, they really need to be on that, like, now. Because that's filming already, I believe.
Right, and if he's showing up at the London premiere, you know, that could be the good sign that he already has been cast and they just haven't made an official announcement.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things, because in the list of the 5 actors, we got some younger folks,
mm-hmm.
and Unger's about 19 years old, and he still looks like he could play a high school student, but he's also old enough that he's not going to change physically too much for them to do even 2 or 3 Spider-Man movies down the road.
Right, exactly. You know, that's why they cast people in their 20s as teenagers all the time. I mean, look at the entire cast of Glee that was, like, pushing 30.
All you have to do to understand the physical changes that teenage actors can go through is just watch Harry Potter.
Sure.
Especially looking at the actor who played Neville Longbottom.
Oh my God, yes. He went from, like, horrible nerd to, like, complete babe. You know, so if you look at somebody like Chandler Riggs on Walking Dead, same kind of thing. You can see them, you know, growing up in front of you. But I think that this guy is at a good age. He already has a working relationship with Disney, so they know that he's, you know, somebody that can, you know, that can work with them on a Disney-type property. So I just would like them to pick somebody and announce it, because speculation is just...
Stop leaving us in the dark here.
I know. It's annoying.
Let's go younger. Just let us know.
Yes, please. Let's see, some other casting news. Oh, yeah, Daniel Brühl was just announced, I think, if not today, then the last couple of days, to be doing Baron Zemo in Civil War.
What is that, like, officially? Because it's been reported for a while now, but it's
Let me see. It's on one of the sites that I generally tend to see as being more reliable than others. It said that he has confirmed it in the new Captain America as the villain Baron Helmut Zemo, and he is quoted as saying, "I think I can tell you that now without being thrown into Marvel prison." Which starts shooting at the end of April. Apparently, it's people were getting this information because when the casting information was sent out for Civil War, when they were, you know, trying to get people to do some of the smaller parts, he was listed as being in the movie, and he's apparently confirmed it, and he said, for the first few days, I'll walk around like a little boy, just amazed by the megalomania of it. It's such a huge project, and we could do 20 films with this budget. So,
yeah, and I'm certainly
pretty cool.
You know, in the movie Rush, about Lauda and Hunt. Hunt is played by Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Brühl was Niki Lauda,
mm-hmm.
and they just do just a really great job in it. And even if you don't like Formula One, it's still worth watching for mm-hmm. the human drama involved.
Of course, the irony there being that Chris is like the only person who's not going to be in Captain America.
Yes, and it makes me really excited because I love one of my favorite stories from the Avengers history is Under Siege, in which the Baron Zemo's Masters of Evil team,
mm-hmm.
you know, they take over Avengers Mansion. They pretty badly beat the team before, you know, the cavalry comes in
mm-hmm.
and helps take the mansion back.
Mm-hmm.
And several of the characters who were on Zemo's Masters of Evil have been introduced at one point or another by now.
Oh, cool.
Including Yellowjacket, who's going to be an Ant-Man.
Right.
Even though it was a female Yellowjacket in the comics as opposed to a male one.
Mm-hmm.
Blackout, who we've seen in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah,
Crusher Creel, who mm-hmm. we've seen in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
yep.
you know, he could assemble a pretty good Masters of Evil team for an Avengers movie down the road past Infinity War.
Yeah, and this same article that I'm looking at says that Crossbones is confirmed for Civil
yes.
War?
Crossbones has been confirmed for a while as well. That we're definitely going to see him in his kind of more comic incarnation. And
Has he been in anything so far?
Well, he's... You know, he's Rumlow in Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay. Now that makes sense. Okay, I just hadn't connected the person and the name. Okay, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
that was one of those things when I saw the initial trailer with the elevator scene, and he calls
mm-hmm.
the one guy Rumlow, and I'm like, oh my god, Crossbones!
Awesome, very cool. So there's, you know, definitely stuff going on with that. You know, being in Atlanta, I'm crossing my fingers and hoping we get to see some peaks of things. I'm really hoping that they get some of the people that are going to be filming here in Atlanta to come out to Dragon Con, because it's like, dude, you're probably going to have an apartment here anyway.
And I know, and that's what I was thinking, like, last year when they started to film Ant-Man, and they were going to film Ant-Man in Atlanta, and,
yeah.
you know, like, Paul... You know, why don't you come to Dragon Con?
Yes, exactly. So in addition to that, there's been some there's been talk about a lot of these things for a while, but we're just talking about maybe we'd talk about the directors that are lined up for the
yep.
the next slate of movies.
Yep, getting into phase three now.
Yep, and we mentioned last week Angelina Jolie possibly for Captain Marvel, which would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Inhumans, I think they just confirmed, well, not just confirmed, but actually, yeah, within the last week or so, Adam McKay is who they're looking at for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it's been confirmed that he's going to direct that one, because
right.
the last thing I read was that Marvel was essentially so impressed with his and Paul Rudd's screenplay for Ant-Man that they've essentially offered him whatever he wants. But.
Right, yeah. It says, the one I'm looking at is Kevin Feige confirms Marvel's interest in director Adam McKay for Inhumans, is what it said. But,
right.
But yeah, it could be Inhumans or Black Panther, or it could be Captain Marvel. So.
Or, you know, Thor Ragnarok, which...
True.
You know, Kenneth Branagh has been asked about and said that he would return if asked.
And I would love that, because I, you know, I'm a Shakespeare nerd, and so, you know, he's in my pantheon of, like, coolest directors ever.
Yep.
But he did such a great job with Thor, because Thor was one of those movies that I didn't see when it first came out, because I picked up the comic and I looked at it and I said, this looks so stupid. But then when I went, everyone was like, no, you need to see the movie. And I went back and I'm like, oh my God, this has, you know, real gravitas and real, you know, depth to it.
Yep, and I'm sure a shirtless Chris Hemsworth didn't hurt either.
Well, that's, you know, that's a thing. I'm much more of a Loki girl myself, which,
okay.
you know, it's
I do love
the evil nerd guys. You know, what can I say?
Yeah. I do love, like, if you watch Thor with Branagh's commentary,
mm-hmm.
And he talks, you know, about going to Hemsworth, like, do you mind not having your shirt for the scene? Hemsworth is like, oh yeah, mate, been working on this for 9 months.
Yeah, may as well, like, right, I'll get some use out of it, right? Yeah,
yeah.
You know, and Thor: The Dark World was okay, but it just seemed like there were just so many missed opportunities with that. And, you know, Brana right. wasn't on that one, and I would really like to see him come back for that.
And they kind of, you know, messed around with it a little bit in order to give more tie-ins for Avengers and, mm-hmm. You know, having, you know, Whedon come in and kind of do some rewrites and stuff that right. greatly reduced Eccleston's character.
Which is a shame because, yeah, that character not having much substance to him, I think, was one of the weaker parts of the film. But anyway, I would really love to see Brana come back on that because I think he's a great director, and I think that he... And, you know, a lot of people said, oh, well, how's this Shakespeare director going to do, you know, a comic book movie? But it was brilliant, and I'd love to see him.
Yeah, because he turns it into a Norse epic.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I was just... So I hope he comes back for that. I'd like to see McKay on Inhumans or something like that. And... Yeah.
And you know, before like all the nerds kind of, you know, roll their collective eyes and say, well, oh God, you know, the guy who did Anchorman and Talladega Nights doing Inhumans. Well,
yeah.
just think about it for a second, because Jon Favreau, his biggest thing before Iron Man was Elf.
Exactly. I mean, and yeah, if the Elf director can make Iron Man. You know, the Anchorman director could do any number of great things. So, so anyway, also when I was looking up different people who had been rumored for different directing gigs, there's Scott Derrickson was, as of like a year ago, they were talking about for Doctor Strange, but I don't think that was ever completely confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a rumor. I'm not sure if they've actually, like, officially said Scott Derrickson, and but, I mean, something's got to get a move on in the next few months.
Exactly. You know, that's something that has, you know, all of these movies, you know, they've got a very, very tight schedule of getting things out.
Right.
Because it was, you know, it was looking like, well, it was just going to be 2 a year, but then with adding in, you know, things like all the Defender stuff on Netflix, and, you know... just the fact that these movies don't get filmed and, you know, canned in 3 months. You know, you have maybe 3 months of filming, and then they have to go to effects for another year or something.
And then you might have reshoots.
Right, exactly. So, you know, they really do need to get out ahead of this. So even though, and Doctor Strange isn't coming out until, is it 2017 or 2018?
I'm going to say it's, actually, I think it's 2016.
So it's next year?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay. So next year is going to be this year's Ant-Man, and then next year would be Civil War and Doctor Strange?
Civil War and Doctor Strange, yeah.
For some reason, I thought that, oh, no, that's right, because the Spider-Man movie is going to be probably in 16 or 17, right?
I think it's 17.
Because I know that they everyone was ticked off at the time when they announced that, because it bumped back both Black Panther and Captain Marvel. And
so I guess, you know, because since it bumped back to Inhumans, we're to past you know, part two. I guess
right.
the Inhumans aren't going to be participating in the Infinity War, but we'll see.
That's a long way down the road at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if they shifted around a few things.
Right.
You know, because and they're, you know, they're talking about the possibility of there being a Defenders movie, you know, before that. And I don't know if that would be a big screen release or if that would be like another mini series on Netflix or what. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with stuff. And then, of course, James Gunn is coming back for Guardians 2.
Yeah,
Guardians 3000.
Times.
Yep.
Yep.
And that basically, we don't have, I don't think there's been anybody attached to Black Panther yet, right?
No, I mean, no, it seems strange that we're getting more information about the actors who have been attached before the directors. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. But that basically finishes us out for most of what's been announced, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing, like director-wise, that I thought was interesting that came out recently was, I guess, with Joss Whedon stepping away from the MCU, he's making a lot of comments that I wouldn't have expected from him. Like, he said that the original script for Ant-Man, he said, was absolutely brilliant, and he was totally excited about seeing it, and he's skeptical about the direction that it went in. But so I think that about wraps us up for news for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk about the frenemy of my enemy.
Hey, tune in to the Ratchet Retrocast, your source for all things retro and steampunk.
Welcome back, and now we are going to talk a little bit about this episode's all the goings-on with the frenemy of my enemy, which featured the return of everybody's favorite bad guy, Agent Grant Ward. So lots of stuff going on. What was there were so many different plot lines. What do you want to start with?
Oh, man, I think we got to start with the main thing, with just getting Ward back.
All right. I mean, it was... I'm glad that they had Fitz react the way that he did, because the idea of, you know, and the thing is, Fitz obviously is not normally going to be somebody who stands up and says, I'm not okay with this, and blah, 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 blah. And obviously he was trying very hard to keep it together, but, you know, and technically Ward was like, so, how's it going? It wasn't even anything, you know, deliberately
provocative. Yeah, it was like,
hey,
nothing personal that I dropped you into the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, hey, bud, let's just, you know, chill out. And I think it was very appropriate that Fitz was like, this is not okay, I can't deal with this.
And I'm not really sure. Well, all right, yeah, because Ward has been made aware of Fitz's condition by Fitz.
Oh yes, because Fitz went down and when Ward was still being kept in the basement in the glass cell, because of course you don't keep attractive people in regular jail cells, you keep them in glass cells. That's why Loki was in one and so.
What about Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs?
Well, okay, that's different. Anyway,
yes, the glass cell trope.
Yep, but yeah, I think it was good to have him back, and I thought he was the source of some of the best dialogue and the best interactions in this episode. His first meeting with Coulson at the little Mexican restaurant.
Oh yeah,
was fantastic. There was just so much, you know, crackling between them in terms of their just being, because Coulson is trying to be polite and everything, being professional, but there's just so much hate going on there.
I love the phone conversation between them when he thinks it's Agent 33 on the line. It's like, hey, baby, hi, honey, we should really get back together.
Yeah, exactly. Something that, I mean, I think it's obvious that there's no way that Ward is actually going to go along with this, but when Coulson said, hey, you can totally come back, you just need to undergo the Tahiti Protocol? What?
Yeah, Ward's going to be like, I know what that did to you, so no.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, well, first of all, that was, you know, bringing somebody back to life, and, you know, all the other people that had undergone it, it was bringing them back to life, and I think that the memory loss was just, you know, designed to cover up the trauma of what they went through with that. But so I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if they have access to that at this point. If that was like a side effect of the Kree blood or what that was. But I mean,
it could just be a tactic, something that Coulson is just saying.
He's just saying, yes.
To come back.
Yes, exactly. It's entirely possible that there isn't anything like that. Although he did say, "I give you my word as SHIELD director," so that counts for something, I think.
But I don't know. I mean, considering the situation that Coulson is currently in,
true.
His word as SHIELD director probably doesn't mean as much as it did, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Well, true, true. But yeah, I guess if he's technically not S.H.I.E.L.D. director, or if he's disputed. So there is that. But it does bring up an interesting point, because, you know, a lot of people have talked about, you know, is there a possibility for redemption for Ward? And, you know, memory wiping would be one way of addressing that.
And, you know, one of the things I liked about this episode with Ward was it was almost like it was Ward back to being the Ward that we liked in the first season.
Yes.
Before his truth was revealed.
Right, that's very true. And, you know, just little things like when they're in the building in Milwaukee and they've dropped a bunch of people and Ward is just, without batting an eyelash, walking over and capping people in the head. You know, it's just ice cold. And even Coulson kind of does a double take and is like, oh, right, that's what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, especially the after they've taken everybody out and, you know, he walks along and just puts a couple right into one of the Hydra agents.
Right, exactly.
It's that reminder that's, yeah, okay, Ward's fighting on the side of the Angels again, but this is not a good guy.
Right, exactly. You know, not to mention the fact that even if you, you know, mind wiped him, I don't know that erasing his memory, you would have to go so freaking far back. Right. I don't know that erasing his memory would even work, which is, you know, lends credence to your idea that it's just a bluff on Coulson's part, and, you know, right. They're not even going to do that. But, and certainly I don't think there's any way that Ward would go along with that. I think they both know at this point that this is, you know, this is a polite fiction that they're maintaining so that they can both work together for this common goal at this time.
Absolutely.
So I thought they did a fantastic job with bringing Ward back and incorporating him in a way that made a lot of sense to get him back involved with the team. One of the other big things, of course, that was going on was the plot line with Cal, which was a lot of fun. He is just the most entertaining character. I think it was the official ABC page that posted right after the episode a big picture of him saying,
Best day ever!
Exactly.
And he uses that phrase, you know, a couple of times.
Right.
Throughout the series.
And, you know, things like, you know, hey, how about next time we grill? And do you like Funyuns? You know, just these random dad things, you know, that are just like... They're doing a great job with it because they're maintaining the humor of it with also while still showing that he's, you know, he's nuts in a dangerous way as well.
Yeah, and it's nice to see further his character development, that he, you know, he had his own practice.
Yeah.
This was a caring, compassionate person who got screwed up by basically deciding to be his own guinea pig.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there, I remember reading one review of it that was talking about how, you know, when dads are, you know, showing their daughters mementos from times past, and he's like, and this is the field surgery kit I put your mother back together with. That's not creepy or anything.
Nothing weird about that whatsoever.
Exactly. So I thought he was a ton of fun in this episode. I mean, he is all the time. But, you know, I think that they need to make sure they're maintaining that balance, because if he goes too far in the silly fun direction, he isn't a believable bad guy anymore. It loses a lot of the depth. So hopefully they'll be walking a fine line with that. Oh yeah, my other favorite line he had was, I miss my tunes, when they're talking about letting him go back and get, quote-unquote, get his stuff when they're actually going to ditch him.
Yeah.
Along those same lines, there was, you know, we ended last episode with Lincoln realizing what was going on, and I'm interested to see where they go with him, because at the beginning of this episode, he's talking with Sky, and he says something like, yeah, dinner with my parents would stress me out, too. He's mentioning it like it's totally no big thing, even though that was supposedly like a super big secret.
And, I mean, obviously you have to wonder that one or both of his parents could themselves be Inhumans.
Certainly. But we'll see. I know that we talked about this a little bit online during or after the episode, but I can't help but think there's something going on with him because, you know, like, he was... I'm not sure that he was there with Gordon necessarily because I just had a gut feeling because, I mean, how did Hydra... I mean, I guess Hydra knew to go there because they were tracking Gordon's teleporting. But at the same time, you know, Gordon dropped them off a pretty far distance from that building. So why did they know to come to that place at that time? And it's right before, basically Lincoln is the first person that they run into.
Yes.
And they're like, so what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I just wanted to make sure you're okay. And then the guys from Hydra come around the corner. So I'm wondering if it's possible that Lincoln is actually working with Hydra.
You know, that could be possible because you remember the last week, the one kid who said he was going to go camping.
Right.
And Lincoln was present for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then this beginning of this week, he winds up on Dr. List's table.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that. That's who that was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. Then that settles it. Yeah. I'm definitely going to say, call it right now. Totally working with Hydra. So that's, you know, that adds a whole other wrinkle to what's going on, you know, both with all of the afterlife plot lines and tying in with, you know, Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything. And I'll be interested to see if, you know, obviously I'm sure things will change and with regard to S.H.I.E.L.D. for after Age of Ultron, but I'll be interested to see if there's anything mentioned about Hydra in Age of Ultron, because I was thinking there wasn't going to be, that they were going to leave that as a, you know, a plot line that had been, as far as everyone knew, resolved in Winter Soldier. But
right.
I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Well, of course, you know, Hydra is at the beginning of Age of Ultron, and Strucker's experiments that have been discussed in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to be seen further, especially when it comes to Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Right. Yeah, definitely, because that's where we first were introduced to them, was bouncing around inside his cages. So,
More glass cells.
In more glass cells, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I think the longest scene that we had back at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters was a training scene with Mac and Bobby in which, like, nothing happened. I mean, it was like a little bit of exposition about what was going on, but it just seemed kind of like filler to me.
A little bit, you know, or a good chance for the audience to witness, hot and sweaty Henry Simmons and and Adrian Pilecki, you know,
getting physical, but it seems like they get into they get into enough fights as it is, but I guess he hasn't really for the most part. She's been doing more fighting than he has.
Yeah, but, and even when they do that, they're not in workout clothes. They're in their tactical gear.
I guess so.
I'm not going to complain. Okay. It was, and I don't think I don't think men or women should complain because, you know, we got Adrian Pilecki, but y'all got Henry Simmons, who is quite a specimen himself.
Yes, it was an equal opportunity display of prowess. So there is that, certainly. It just seemed like a lot of time was spent on it, and maybe that's all it was. You know, maybe they're trying to pull in that, CW needs to see a bare chest every now and then audience.
It could be something that we're going to see tie into the Mockingbird and Hunter show.
That's very true. Honestly, when I see two people sparring most of the time, I've heard it in gaming circles and whatnot referred to as fighter foreplay. You know, that a lot of the time that's, you know, fighting is a way of developing tension between people, but I don't see that happening between them. I could be wrong.
I've read at least one book where, you know, the fight did turn into that later on.
Right.
You know, it's like this scene, we're sparring, next scene, was it good for you?
Yeah, exactly. So one wrinkle to go back to the thing about Lincoln, The only thing that kind of is a question for me if Lincoln sold them out was what he ends up doing is he's between Hydra and Sky, and he turns to Sky and says, I'll hold them off.
Right.
So that she can run. I'm not sure why he would do that if he was working for the Hydra, but...
Well, you know, and we also saw both him and Deathlok were captured by the end of this.
True.
And it seems, you know, it makes you question how much under Ward's control was Boxy, really.
Right. Yeah. It's so sad when they open up the trunk and he's in there and he's like, yeah. I'm happy to comply.
But, it's like, here, we got a guy for you.
And you know, and to be fair, Ward was like, I want you to act exactly the way that you would have before this, which he did. He totally sold him out, which is exactly what he would have done beforehand. So yeah. And I think it was speaking of Deathlok being there in that last scene, it was neat the way that they set up that scene, because from the perspective of May and Simmons, they're trying to hack into Deathlok, and then who do they see but Ward and Coulson working together. And that certainly, you know, May has been, you know, she was super, super loyal, but you've seen it kind of eroding over the last few episodes. Mm-hmm. And the look on her face when she saw Ward was, you know, just betrayal, I thought. So,
and I mean, we're going to get to see that, you know, further developed next week, since Coulson left himself behind to get captured by Mac, by Mac and Bobby.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll definitely be going back in. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, was Deathlok captured by Hydra?
Yeah, he was, because they threw that little EMP grenade and it knocked out both him and Lincoln.
Okay. For some reason, I guess I had that in the wrong order. I thought that him meeting up with Coulson and Ward and them getting the camera shot was after that, but I guess not. So yeah, that's incredibly terrible if Hydra has Deathlok. That's one of their big guns. I know that at one point when Bakshi and Deathlok were going in to meet with the Hydra guys, I think Ward said something like, you know, you sent in a robot with rockets on his arms. And Coulson looks at him and says, he's a SHIELD agent with rockets on his arms. So that was cool. And we got to officially hear that that Sky's name is Daisy Johnson.
Yes.
Of course, when she was checking out Cal's old office and everything. Yeah, not much with going on. Go ahead.
And that's an interesting thing about the mythology, because, of course, Cal's name in the comics is Calvin Zabo.
Right.
Which he says in this episode he used Zabo as an alias. He changed his name. And Johnson is actually the last name of Daisy's mother in the comics, not his name.
Okay.
It's kind of one of those things where, you know, she had a relationship with a villain, and they obviously didn't last, but she gives birth to a daughter, and the daughter takes her mom's name.
Right, but that's, in that case, the mother wasn't Jaiyin, right?
Right.
Right, so that's, they're retconning that regardless, so.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, Kyle MacLachlan, he's so awesome. when he's unlocking the door, he's like, yeah, my name was Johnson. I changed it when I went on the run to be more sinister.
Like, well, you know, if I've got anger issues and super strength, I may as well just go ahead and be a villain and give myself an evil name.
Exactly. Because, you know, Dr. Johnson, that's not exactly something that's going to, you know, inspire fear in the hearts of your enemies the same way that Zabo would.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to actually refer to himself as Mr. Hyde, or at least somebody else to do it as kind of like a Easter egg joke.
Exactly, because, you know, that actually hasn't come up at all yet with in terms of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's gonna be interesting. I love him as an actor. Like I said, my only worry is that they're at some point they're gonna go over the line and go to camp and can't come back from it. You know, they've managed to balance it well so far, but
we can trust him as an actor to kind of not go that far with it, because I mean we've seen Kyle MacLachlan in so many memorable roles, from Dune to Twin Peaks
and Sex in the City.
Yeah. So I think we can, I don't remember from Sex in the City, but again, I haven't watched as much of that.
Fair enough. But
I will watch for Kristen Stewart.
Was she in that? No.
Who am I thinking of?
There's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Kristen Davis.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep.
That's it. I'll watch it for Kristen Davis.
So, lots of stuff going on, obviously. I'll be interested to see what, I think everybody is waiting to see what's going to happen with the Age of Ultron tie-in episode. Whether that's going to be when we get to see Maria Hill, or if... did they say that she was in the finale, or did they just say she was going to be in an episode?
They just said she's going to be in an episode. We haven't seen her listed in the cast credits for the finale, so we don't know if they're kind of hiding that from us, or...
Right.
Or what's going to happen, because, I mean, any multiple things could happen from her appearance. I mean, like we said before, she could show up and be like, okay, that's it. If you two kids can't get along, I'm the new director.
Right, exactly.
Which would be in line with the comics and would make all my friends who dress as Hill give me so much crap for the next, years and years and years.
With them being Coulson's boss. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, she was on the other foot now. Like,
So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that. Any predictions about other things that you think we're going to see in the one episode we have between now and when the movie comes out?
I mean, we've heard tell of, in the episode synopsis about, a computer virus taking control of the bus and making it go where it wants to go. So that could be something related to Ultron.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
We've already built up for the fact that, Coulson is after Strucker and wants to know more about his experiments and what he's doing. And that could somehow tie into the Theta Protocol.
Mm-hmm, yep. So yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to. And of course, the all the hoopla for Age of Ultron opening in just a few days now. So, I can't
wait.
And
next week's episode, The Dirty Half Dozen, getting the band back together.
Yep, exactly. So I'm super excited. Okay, so time to do ratings. On a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 1 being terrible and 5 being, oh my God, perfect, where would you put this episode?
I'm going to give this a 3.5. I think it went along. It was well. It advanced a lot of plots while not giving us too little, but also not giving us too much.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I think it's really served, though, as a setup for next week.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think for me, I'll give it a 4. Because I think that although the pacing was off a little bit for me, like I said, I thought that fight scene with Mac and Bobby was just kind of wasted space. There were so many good moments that I liked.
I enjoyed watching it on many levels.
Fair enough. We will agree to disagree on that then. But yeah, I thought there were a few things that were off, but Cal was in fine form. I thought he was just hilarious. I loved everything that happened with Ward. I think that was, they did a good job of how they handled that. It wasn't perfect, but I agree. I think it was a really good setup for this week. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. So we will be back in a week then to talk about The Dirty Half Dozen, and we'll be doing a special episode next week also after we've seen Age of Ultron to talk about that. And it looks like we got a couple of guests who may be joining us, so that will be a lot of fun. So we will see you then.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit.
Thank you.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.